two lines from the bottom, 31b. Darsh Reb Yuda Bar Pazi Vibes Madrash, as Shamsi correctly pointed out, I stopped yesterday in the middle of a sentence. That he Darsh, he was talking about the heart of palm. I looked up, by the way, I did on the Weber Rebbe, and I did a look up on what bracha do you make on heart of palm, and he quotes Rabbi Belsky, who said you make Kol Hadama, even though the sugya says Shahakol. But he says that was in those days when the tree was not miyuchad for the heart of palm. But nowadays there are whole groves planted for that purpose, expressly for that purpose, and therefore it is Ha'adama. That is
according to the Star Case, Brewery PIH, the Orthodox Union says it's Ha'adama.
That's why I don't eat it, because it's a Shailad one.
So is the Machlokes.
I just saw Rabbi Belsky being quoted.
He says Adama.
Adama, yeah.
We have a Shahako over here.
I texted my wife to see what...
The sugya in bracha seems to indicate shahakol. Okay, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, my son-in-law sent to my car dumb on it, and he knows what he's talking about. because he eats it. I don't eat that stuff. Darsh Reb Yehuda Bar Pazi Vibeis Medrash, he dashed like this. Hakor, when it comes to the heart of palm, and kedusha shvias cholalav. So he said that it has a halacha like wood, and since it's wood, it has no kedusha shvias.
This won't be true nowadays either.
Lechor or not. Yeah. Reb Yaisi, now we're on 32a. Reb Yaisi mafakdin al sho alayo. He instructed those. Reb Yaisi instructed those who asked him the shayla about what to do with the hearts of palm. Barman loin. He doesn't say it. Doesn't say it here. But mafakdin means, according to the English, that he should treat them. If they insert this. That he should treat them with kedusha shvias. So, okay, so he argues on Rabbi Yehuda Bar Pazi. Again, names are Rabbi Yehuda Bar Pazi says no kedusha. Rabbi Yosef Holtz has kedusha. Ma'am and Loin, and he also furthermore he asked them, Man Lechoin Meimar Kain, who told you this? You know, that it doesn't have Kedusha V'hav and Amr, and they said, Hu Amr Lan, he, that guy, you know, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Pazi. Well, Amr Rabbi Yossi said, Masisa Pliga Rabbi Yehuda Bar Pazi. Sorry, I have a Brisa that proves that he's wrong. Messiah Lan, and it helps us. The Tani, the Brisa says the following. This is simple Raya. Hapagin Shal Shvi is, if it comes to the unripe the figs, in Chokonoi Son. It says over here, in footnote 3, that an introduction is necessary in order to better understand the brisa. Shvias produce must be consumed in the manner usual for each species, thus one may not eat vegetables that are usually cooked while they are still in the raw state, or vice versa. In other words, you have to eat the vegetables the way they're normally eaten. You can't cook something which is eaten raw, you can't eat something raw which is normally cooked, and that's what you need to know before you start this brisa. Okay.
Because
it's considered lo'achlav lo'lehefsin's a violation. You're not doing it right. So hapagin shal shvias, if you have unripe figs or shvias, ain't shalken loisin, and you can't cook them extensively. Umum b'siyof is mutter, and if it's the end of the harvest, then it's mutter to do it, because basically mnei shehim lachdom, because that's the way it's usually done. Now, kor v'kofnias, what about heart of palm and immature dates? Also, you can't cook them extensively either. So without even going any further, you see clearly that they have kedusha shvias, and he's going to speak it out, even though it's really not necessary, but he speaks it out in detail. The chain on the oimrim, carbon company is harain kates, and how can you possibly say that it's like wood? It has no kedusha shvias, so it wouldn't make sense. The eights also the sholko. Are you not allowed to cook wood? That can't be correct, right? Of course not, he says over here with an exclamation point. So, Ella begin the kedusha shvias call, then it has kedusha, can't serve the maimer, also, and therefore it's also. Okay, so he proves himself right against Reb. Okay, so at number 8 it says, Rabbi Yose has effectively proven from the Brisa, palm hearts are not like wood with regard to Shrias. They're subject to the laws of Shrias. Okay. So when it says that the Mishnah before, it said 31b, that they're like wood, it only meant regarding Tochas Tuma. So there could be a chilek between Tuma and, okay. Okay, that's the main thing that we wanted to see over here. Okay, so we're done with the hearts of palm. Next topic. Habayser Misha Hevi Maim. So we mentioned that if you have unripe grapes, that once they reach a certain stage that they have some liquid, not, it's a very early stage. It's like Paul Halavin we said yesterday, that you could eat it in the field. Remember we said that if it's field, if it's at the earliest stage of ripeness, then you could just have a little bit of it in the field. That's not considered lawful hefsin, but you couldn't bring it home. So only once it reached the later stage, that right, the ma'aser stage, that we said you could bring it home. So gamaboyser ma'islach me'amar. So the Gemara is not very happy about this. What do you mean? Something that's so early on in the stage, that's normal to eat it like that? It just seems very strange that even to eat, you know, bread, you're going to eat bread with grape water. It's like strange thing. It's that's what he says. Is it common to eat grapes in such a manner? What? Yeah, look, it's too early. The Gemara doesn't understand why it's not considered wasting. So the Gemara answers, Amar Avin, Shekeder HaKehos Ochlos Oso. Those who are weary will eat it this way. Weary. Did I say weary? Weary, sorry about that. It's weary. So someone who's weary will come home after a long trip through the desert and enter into the field and will just happy eat whatever is available, so something like that. Seems a little fun. It's a funny answer. The Gemara means, says over here, the Pnei Moshe understands the word chaos to be related to kiyuho, which is a word acidulous. I don't know what that means. Some sort of so it's acidic. The Gemara means that those who enjoy acidic foods eat unripe grapes as a condiment with their bread. Okay.
Like a pickle.
Yeah. And another shot by Rav Cirillo is that it's talking about pregnant women who crave many foods. They crave unripe grapes as well.
Maybe she got okay. The bean in the field.
Whatever it is. Anyway. So the bottom line is, the answer is that there are some people that eat it this way. It's a hechatimsa question. It's not considered inedible, and there has to be a group of people that eat it that way in order for it to have a heter. That's the end of the Gemara. Now we're going to the next Mishnah, Halacha Zayin. Okay, now we're going to talk about olives. Before we were talking about, we started off with figs, then we had grapes. Now we're talking about olives. These are the three foods, by the way, that have a double phase of partially edible, more edible, okay? So that's why these Mishnahs are specifically about these fruits. Zaysim, Sheikh Nisur Vias Lasaw. So now we're going to talk about the yield of how much oil, in determining how ripe it is to allow us to eat it, we're going to look at how much oil is in the output per saw of olives in order to be moderate. So zaysim sheikh nisum kruvias lasaw. If they give a quarter log of oil per saw, potzei avayach masani, you can break them open and eat them in the field, but you can't bring them to the house. Same idea, right? Yechnisu chatzei log. If they double the output, then you get a half log instead of a quarter log. So then kotei shasach basada. Now here we have another.
Just a question.
Yeah.
Saw is a volume, not a weight.
Saw is a volume of olives, correct. Let's call it a bushel. I say bushel. So if you have a bushel of olives that produce a quarter log of oil, which is a liquid volume, that's what it will, yeah. Now, here we're going to actually have three, it has three levels over here. So if it's quarter log, he does it in the field. If it's half a log, he's still doing something in the field. But what he's doing here is he's also going to be able to anoint himself in the field. Now, in the footnote, he mentions that, let's see, in footnote 15, second paragraph, Shvi'as produce may be used for any benefit similar to eating. Once its use is anointing the body with oil, However, one may use this purpose only substance is commonly used for anointing. Since at this early stage, oil extracted from olives is not suitable for applying to the skin, it is consequently permitted only to eat them in the field, but not in use, and not to use their oil on one's skin. Okay, so that's the idea here, why there's this distinction here between the first stage, when it doesn't mention anything about skin, because skin is osur, that first stage. The second stage of half lug, you can be kotesh, v'soch basada, you could cut it, you could crush it, eat it, or you could anoint yourself. Hechnisu shlish, now if it yields a third, now that means, now, what exactly a third, when it says third here, it's not clear. Now, it's very interesting. I think I found a very blatant error here in the Art Scroll footnotes. Chaim, this needs to be reported to Art Scroll immediately. This is a major, major error. Footnote 17, it says, the Gemara below will discuss what is meant by a third. Now, we're going to see in just a couple of in footnote 19, in the second paragraph, it says in the brackets, above note 17, we cited two explanations of the one-third stage. And as you can see, in note 17, we did not quote two explanations.
Including the variant A.
Nah, sorry. It doesn't work.
And the Hebrew is in note 18.
It's note 18?
Yeah, and that's in the Hebrew. Gives
so, I have. I mean, maybe my print's an old print.
19. Right, you're 19.
I have 19 second paragraph. It says in the brackets above note 17. We cited two explanations of one third.
Yeah, he says here we will cite two explanations of one third stage in 32B.
Oh yeah. Regardless, it's got to be fixed. Maybe he fixed it. No, it was fixed.
Well, maybe, it was fixed.
I've got the old print. Sorry. No, sorry, Chaim. Here I thought we had. Anyway, let me stop. Drain a cup. So the one-third is, the one-third could be that it's, first explanation is when it reaches a third of its size. So one-third would be one-third of its size. Okay. Second explanation, it's yielding a third of its oil. Now, that's very difficult to say, one-third of its oil, because we've already gone through one-quarter of its oil, one-half of its oil, and now the next stage has got to be even more oil, not less oil. And as we all know, those of us who graduated grade school know that one-third is less than one-half.
Wow.
Wow. That's pretty good for a Yeshiva guy, right? For a Scranton guy. Okay, so it doesn't make sense. That shot doesn't make very much sense. So we're going to learn Pashut, that it's a third of its size. That'll be the third. Okay? So, Hechnisu Shlish, when they yield a third, then Kotesh Masada V'Kotesu Tek Beso. You crush them in the field, you bring them to the house, and they can be eaten. Chayin K'yotze B'ham. Again, we have this very strange statement in the statement. That the Chayin K'yotze B'ham. We keep saying this statement, which the Rambam has a different shot. Okay, V'Shashne Shavua, which means at the same type of growth, meaning when they reach the third of the size, that's when they're chayav and maisers, right? All other fruits of the tree besides the figs, grapes, and olives, just like whatever the shear is for maisers, that's the shear for shvius, meaning before it reaches that stage that they're chayav and maisers, you cannot eat them because it's a violation. Halacha, below the half. Very simple halacha, right? Now we're on to Amud Beis, yeah. Amud Beis. So the Gemara says the following. Zaysim, Sheikh Nisu Revius Lassah. So let's see. You can break them, eat them in the field, and then you get a half log. You can crush them and anoint themselves in the field. The third, they can crush them. Mao Shlish, what does Shlish mean? Log. Means it's a log of oil per saw. Is referred to as a third. In other words, not a third of a log, but a full log, right? So we had quarter, half, and full log. That's what we meant by a third. How does full log come from a third? Because normally there would be three logan at full ripeness. It'll be three logan of oil would come from this saw of olives. So 1/3 of the full output ends up being one log. That's going to be the shot. Okay. And we're talking about where, that's what I just told you, it makes three saw. Okay, so 1/3 is when the olive yields 1/3 of the amount of oil that we yield at maturity. Fine. Let's see, next thing. Shvius, the use is regulated, right? Right? We said that it has to be picked and eaten only once it's attained a certain degree of ripeness. Now we're going to gain a scriptural source for this special sanctity. This is very interesting in halacha here. We're about to say that there's a kedusha on Shvius, and we're going to learn from a pasuk from Yovel. Okay? Siv ki Yovel hi kodesh di lachem. It says the word kodesh in regards to Yovel. And mahi kodesh af tvuasa kodesh. Right? So we're just like it. So there's apparently machlokes exactly how to learn this. There's the gra, and then there's everybody else. So first like everybody else, just like it, that is to say, yovel is kodesh. How is yovel kodesh? If I asked you without looking at any pshatim, if I asked you how is yovel kodesh, what would you tell me? On Yovel?
It's like Shvius.
I don't want it to be like Shvius, because we're comparing Shvius to Yovel. We're going to say Shvius is like Yovel. Just like Yovel is Kodesh, so Shvius is Kodesh. So I want it to be a separate and distinct Kedusha that's specific to Yovel as opposed to Shemitah.
So you have the karkos go back and Avodim go free.
So karkos returning to their original owner, that's a kedusha. Is that a kedusha?
And
the slaves go free. Now that's what he says. He says because the slaves go free. I think that's very. I find that fascinating. That's called kodesh. Seven.
We're talking about Jewish slaves.
Footnote 7. Yovel is sanctified in that all Jewish slaves are freed. All lands return to their ancestral owners. That's kodesh. How is that a manifestation of kodesh? It's something to think about. I don't have an answer to what.
It's like going to the rally. It's actually so kodesh. Everybody shows up for it.
Wow. Okay. Sam just suggested a shot, which I don't know if you guys online heard it, but if you did it, it's okay. No, he said it's like the rally. I'm not exactly sure what he means. Okay. So now the Gra says changes the gears a little bit. And he says, if you look at the Bir HaGra at the bottom, Matvuasa Kodesh, Af Hi Kodesh, Gra writes, Klimer, Eretz Yisrael Atzmo. It's not referring to Shemias. It's talking about Eretz Yisrael, the bottom, at the very bottom of the page. You'll see, it says Bir HaGra, that just like Yovel is Kodesh, Af Hi Kodesh means even Eretz Yisrael is also Kodesh. Very interesting. He changes the gears. In other words, instead of Af Tvos, I think he goes Af Hi, I think. I think that goes along with it. Yeah, if you look at HaGoyis HaGra, Is Aleph, you'll see, Ma Tvos HaKodesh, Af Hi Kodesh. He erases the word Tvos. And it's referring to Eretz Yisrael. And now we're going to see some great stories. Okay, here's some great stories. Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina Menashek L'Kefasa Da'Akko. So he kissed the stones of Akko. Akko was apparently the border of Eretz Yisrael. And when he came to the border, he kissed, there was a big stone there, and he kissed the stone to show that Eretz Yisrael is like a special sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. But Amar Akko here, Eretz Yisrael, up until here is the land of Israel. Which is interesting. In other words, if you take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Hey, you will see he quote, I think it's Halach Yidav, that he actually says we'll read it inside. What's the quickest way to get Hilchos Melachim? Anybody have Hilchos Malachim handy? Anybody online have Hilchos Malachim? You have a Rambam handy where you're sitting?
No.
Chaim, do you have a Rambam Hilchos Malachim?
Not where I am right now.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay, sorry, I didn't bring it along with me. I should have brought it. I'm sorry. Anyway, let's keep going. Reb Zeira Avar, you're done with Monoi. Reb Zeira was.
Look it up on my phone if you want.
If you don't mind, but you know you don't have to. Reb,
Parakei, what is it?
I think it's Parakei Malachim. I'll tell you for sure. I can find it. Yeah, Parakei Halacha Yud. Okay, Reb Zeira Avar Yudon of Amon. So he crossed the Jordan River with his clothing on. In other words, he missed his boat, and he was in a rush to get across because he was in a rush to get across Eretz Yisrael. He didn't want to be delayed. So that's how some people learn it. Or otherwise, another pshat is that there was a rope that he would wrap his clothing around the rope to help slide across the river. Reb Chiya Bar Bo Misagav Hadalisis de Tveria. He would roll around in the sand on the shores of Tveria when he got off the boat upon entering Eretz Yisrael. This is the second time we've mentioned that Tveria could be an entry point to Eretz Yisrael. If you remember, we said the same thing by Rameir. Rameir was in Asya. This was a Gemara at the end of Klayim. Remember the Gemara? Rameir was in Asia. And he realized he was going to die there, and he said to them to put his body, to put his urn into the water, right? Yom Yisod of the Horus now that the Eretz Yisrael is surrounded with water, and it says that it eventually floated into Tveria. That was another point where we had people floating into Tveria from Chutz La'aretz. It's a little schwer, you know. I don't really understand how you float into Tveria from Chutz La'aretz. It's the only thing that's there is Yam Kineret, which is completely part of Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, okay, whatever it is. Then Reb Chiya Rabba Maskel Kefi, he weighed the stones on the road. So apparently, the stones of Eretz Yisrael were heavier than the stones of Chutz La'aretz. Eretz Hashav and now Barzel. Right, so they must be a little heavier. Reb Chananya Maskel Gushai, he weighed the clumps of soil, also heavier. Your servants have cherished her stones and favored her dust. So this works very well with the Graz Girsa to show that it was Kaidish. Anyway, did you find the Chaim? You did. Okay. So when, from what point can you not cut?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, I have it.
Oh, you have it?
Okay. It's Parakei Halacha, how you said?
Yes, please. If you could please read that one Rambam. Chachmei Yisrael, I think it starts.
No, this is not right. One second.
Hilchos Malachim.
Give me another minute. Let's make sure this is right. Because this looks like this starts off Ben Noach.
No, you're in the wrong parak.
No, I'm in your
parak. Hey,
okay. You said parak.
Parak. Hey, Halacha Yud. 5:10. 5:10.
Sorry. I had it backwards. Give me a second then.
I'm waiting for you.
Thank you.
You're not welcome.
Parakei Halacha Yud is.
My gosh, this is taking forever.
I apologize. Please forgive me.
This is why you have to have Svarim. You can't use your phones to learn. It's a bit of Torah to use electronic devices to learn. It's a bit of Torah.
Absolutely.
I'm only doing it because I don't have a choice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're running out of time.
I know you are. One more second.
Someone's giving a shtark to Mussar over there. The Amosayim cuts in Swa'ilam Bishriya. So when you not cut down a tree on the Shemitah year, because once it starts to produce fruit, so this is a question. Is the reason why you're not allowed to cut it because it started to produce fruit and therefore it's la'akal la'hafsid? Or is the reason because once it starts to produce fruit, so the Rambam says, it's Gneva for me to cut it down because there's fruits on there that I can collect because it's everybody gets a chance to collect from the, so it's like public property. So that's another reason why I can't cut it. It's like Gneva to Rambam. They ask Akasha on the Rambam why he has to give a special reason. It's a famous. I printed that over here. It's a Pasa Shulchan. Take a look over here if you're interested after the share. Beautiful.
You listening?
Yeah, loudly.
Yedoylei hachachamim hayu menashkin al tichumei Eretz Yisrael umenashkin avaneha umeskahaglin al afara. Echein hu oimer ki retzo avadacha es avaneha ves afara yechaneinu. That is the halacha.
So there you have it. Mamish, a summary of our whole Gemara in the Rambam Perek Hey, halacha Yud. The gedoylei hachachamim, right? But the point here is, not everybody that gets off a plane, an LL plane, can just decide, I'm going to go ahead and bow down on the floor and kiss the tarmac. You have to be Dolei Chachamim. Not everybody can do that. Okay? Right? It's not for, if you really have a hergish for it, fine. But just to go through the act to show everybody that you're showing it, it's not the pshat. Don't do that.
You can't do it anymore.
Well, you used to be able to do it. Yeah, it's true.
I'll arrest you.
Me'im asayin kaitzin soli mashriyas kol. So Beishamai says kol ha'ilam misha tatsi misha yotzi. Once it brings forth.
I like the lacha before it better. Asur latzeis meretz yisrael luchutz laretz la'ilam.
Okay.
I'm done.
Okay. Thank you, Chaim. Yeshukaya. So he says, as soon as the leaves start coming out of the tree, you can no longer cut it down. The carob trees, from the time the carobs hang like chains, then already it's reached a certain, right? So on the bottom here, it says over here, in 18, this occurs in the month of Nisan. Okay. They still hold with regard to certain trees, the fruits must be further developed. All right. Carobs are chain-like. They hang like they hang down because of their weight. Okay, we're gonna stop here. It's in the middle of the middle of the Mishnah. The Mishnah. I mean, I can go a little further. Hagafon mishriagri. That's on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. That the grapevines cannot be cut down when they form grapes the size of a gerua, which is the pol halavan that we keep mentioning. It keeps giving different terminologies for the same thing. Pol halavan, small sizes. Hazeisa mishri anitzu, the olive tree, once it develops blossoms. Shor kol ina mishri yoytzi, other fruits, other trees, once it starts. What's the word? Incipient fruits. What's incipient?
About to happen.
What?
About to happen.
Beginning. Incipient at the beginning? Okay, I don't know what the word meant. Look. Every tree, once it reaches the stage of tithing, you can cut it down. What does that mean? It's ripened to the point that the tithing obligation takes hold. That's edible enough. So in other words, you could cutting the tree would not destroy the fruit. You could cut the fruit off, and then you could cut the tree down. That wouldn't be a problem. Now, what else is significant?
If there isn't a second blossom.
If there wasn't? What's
a
second blossom? Yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, if some of them have budded and some of them have just beginning, yeah, if you're at different stages, absolutely. It would be the last of that branch, I guess. We come here because I like to tell how much can there be in an olive tree before you can't cut it down? Raiva, a quarter of a kav. This is in general, I think, for even for halachas for bal pashkas. I think that once it produces a quarter cob, you can't cut it down anymore. But then we could be talking, of course, if you're talking about olive wood, which is worth more than the fruit, then you have a heter for baltashkas. But if it's shvius, then it doesn't matter because you got another problem of la'ach v'la'hafsid. That's why you have this shear as well. Depends on the tree. It depends on the tree. I don't know what that means. We'll see what it means tomorrow. It depends on the tree. Okay, Rabbi Isai, have a good evening.